Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Hello, America, and happy Tuesday. A big news day in America. It was about a decade ago when the United States Supreme Court ruled in a case called United States versus Arizona that Arizona could not enforce immigration law independent of the federal government. And that disappointed a lot of conservatives who thought that that was a model to deal with open borders as Barack Obama saw them. The borders are far more open under Joe Biden right now. They're far more insecure, as we all painfully know in all of our communities. But for 10 years, I think a lot of people were frustrated that, well, maybe the Supreme Court got it wrong, but how are we going to change it? And the answer is the Lone Star State. The Texas legislature, the governor Greg Abbott, the attorney general Ken Paxton, came up with a different equation. Instead of a state trying to enforce federal immigration law, they would make residing in a state without lawful entry to the United States to be a state crime. And of course, immediately the Biden administration went to court to block that. There were two early efforts by the Supreme Court to stay that, meaning that, yeah, even though the appellate courts were looking at this case, Supreme Court said, Texas, don't enforce the law. And so once again, conservatives, I think, were thinking, hey, this is not going in our direction. Liberals are thinking, well, maybe the Biden administration is going to get another win here. But it turns out today, the Supreme Court declared that Texas could begin enforcing the law now. Now, that means that there's a high likelihood that the justices did not believe that the Biden administration could succeed upon this case. That's what the preliminary injunction often gives us a look into. So it's not a final decision. It's a temporary decision, but it is one with enormous consequence because it allows Texas to now take things into its own hand and begin extinguishing or exiting or forcing the removal of illegal aliens from Texas, at least back to Mexico. Now, they might come in through another state, but it does create a disincentive. And I think some people living illegally in Texas may not want the cops showing up at the door, knocking on the door. They may exit the country themselves or at least exit to another state so they can't be rounded up, can't be arrested for this crime. That's how consequential it is. And I think in a second round, it also now emboldens other states. It might have said, Arizona, United States, I'm not going to go there. Then Texas wins. Maybe other states go there. One of those states is Georgia, Lake and Riley, the victim of that heinous attack by the Venezuelan illegal alien, allegedly. He's been charged with it, at least. It's a crime that shook the public conscience. Even Joe Biden had to respond to it, though he ended up apologizing for calling the illegal alien illegal. Figure that one out. But I do think today, other states like Georgia are looking at a Texas-like law, and they're going to have newfound enthusiasm, newfound fervor, maybe, to dive into this debate, maybe get a state law for Georgia. If several of the red states begin this effort to enforce the law and maybe prosecute or remove aliens in their states, it's going to shrink the number of states that have an illegal alien problem. As former President Trump and Governor Abbott and Attorney General Paxton say, the invasion. It will make the invasion a lot less attractive in some states. So that's why this has a ripple effect beyond just Texas scoring a major win in the United States Supreme Court today. Now, today we got a great show. We're going to start in Georgia. The chairman of the Georgia Republican Party, where we just had a presidential primary last week that Donald Trump and Joe Biden won handily. Donald Trump got a lot more votes than Joe Biden in their respective primaries. Josh McCoon is going to be here. We're going to go talk about the primary. We're going to talk about illegal immigration. Will Georgia get the job done before its legislature ends for the year? Those are big questions. We'll also talk about early get out the vote. I have said for over 2 years now, Republicans won't win elections nationally until they learn how to master the get out the early vote game. They got to play all four quarters of a basketball game, not just election day, which is one quarter or maybe half of the game. I think Josh McCoon has got a tremendous model going down there in Georgia. Early vote was strong in the primaries. I think 300,000 Republicans voted early in the primaries. That was an all-time high for a primary showing. The Republican National Committee under new leadership with Michael Whatley, the entire country is moving towards an early voting model, one that is, I think, growing in excitement right now. In the second block, we're going to go talk to two people directly affected by the Texas decision. First off, the man who brought the case, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, is going to spend some time with Amanda and I. And then we'll finish up with Brandon Judd, the head of the Border Patrol Agents Union. He has been advocating for this law for a long time. He's been a champion of it. He predicted that the Supreme Court might just come around on it. And well, they did, at least temporarily. So Brandon Judd will finish us out with what it looks like from the Border Patrol's perspective. These agents who've been working day and night, but have both hands tied behind the back. Now, federal law enforcement can see some help from Texas state authorities, not only in the Lone Star operation that was run to kind of seal the border off as best Texas could, but now in extracting and deporting and arresting illegal aliens. This could become one of the most important operations in the country and could become a model for what a Trump presidency. Remember, Trump has said, former President Trump said, if he gets back in office, it's going to be the largest deportation operation in American history. Let's see what happens on that watch. We're very excited to watch those sort of developments. Texas now becomes ground zero, not only in fortifying the border, which they've done with the deployable buoys in the river and the wall that the state is building on state property. Now it becomes a model for other states to maybe enforce a state law, making it illegal to be in a state without a lawful entry to the United States. So big developments here. Now, there's a lot of other news that has gone on today. All of it huge. First off, there is Peter Navarro lost his appeal to the Supreme Court. He reported for prison today. He'll do 4 months in prison. We'll see what happens with that, and it will be an important part. CBS News did a story this morning that you're all familiar with because we broke this story back in November, but CBS News showed the video of the gallows and noose being set up on January 6th, way before it. Cops just let it go on. There was no effort to stop it. We had Chairman Loudermilk on the show. Well, CBS caught up to it. They didn't credit us, but they sure as heck wrote the story today. And that's good to see the mainstream media raising the same questions that we're raising. I think that's very, very important. Those are two really big stories there. Oh, another one. The Supreme Court also ruled that the FBI can be sued for failing to properly maintain the no-fly list, which has grown to millions of people. It was supposed to be a tool to keep the most serious threats to airlines off, but now it seems to have gotten so big, it's almost unmanageable now. And I think that that's one of the big challenges here in America right now. So Supreme Court, very, very busy tonight. Very, very busy. We also got an election tonight in Ohio. They'll pick the nominees for the very contested Senate seat there that could determine control of the United States Senate. Bernie Moreno, who's been on the show, he looks like he's endorsed by Donald Trump. He looks like he may win the Republican primary. Of course, the incumbent Senator Sherrod Brown is going to easily win the Democratic nomination, but that sets up one. And then in Arizona, our good friend Carrie Lake, fellow journalist as me, now running for political office, she should secure the Republican nomination, and Congressman Gavala should secure the Democrat nomination. Those are two marquee Senate races that almost certainly will determine which party controls the Senate in the next Congress. Those are two really, really big ones. That's the best of the news right now. There's an awful lot going on, but I think these are the big ones today. We've got a great lineup. We'll come back after the commercial break and kick things off with Josh McCoon, the state Republican Party chairman for Georgia, one of those battleground states where Donald Trump right now is winning. All right. At least in the polls, he's winning. And he certainly won the Republican primary just a week ago. All right, we'll take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages with some great interviews. Don't forget, we're going to have Ken Paxton and the head of the Border Patrol Union, Brandon Judd, on right after these messages as well. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, folks. Welcome back from the commercial break. The story we broke at the top of the show. The United States Supreme Court has authorized Texas to start enforcing a law that allows local police to arrest illegal aliens and kick them out of the country, even if the federal government doesn't do it. That debate has also been going on in Georgia, where the horrific murder of Lakin Riley recently occurred, and where there are a lot of legislative efforts to give Georgia the same power. We're very lucky to be joined by the chairman of the Georgia Republican Party, Josh McCoon. Josh, great to have you on, sir.
I'm delighted to be with you, John.
There is a lot going on in Georgia. I think people look at Georgia and say, hey, there's a lot of models for how you run a state the right way. But one of the big questions is how are states far from the border dealing with the immigration crisis that Joe Biden has created? Georgia's been thinking about a law, something similar to what Texas just got affirmed today by the Supreme Court. Does this ruling put some extra energy behind Georgia's efforts?
I think it absolutely does, John. And as you know, we're really in a situation now where every state's a border state. We're all experiencing the disastrous effects of Joe Biden's open border. And we're, of course, in the waning days of our state's legislative session. But I think this gives rocket fuel to the effort to try to make some real changes in Georgia law in terms of going after these criminal illegal aliens.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is definitely what we're hearing. And this obviously also starts to involve a decision. A lot of people disagree with a decade ago, U.S. versus Arizona, where the justices came down on a different side of the law, saying Arizona couldn't go out and enforce federal immigration law. This changes it. If it's a state law, it looks like the Supreme Court's inclined to open that door. And that's going to be pretty important, I think, for a lot of states. Another thing that has all of Americans' eyes on Georgia is the recent scandal involving Fannie Willis down in Fulton County. It's funny that 4 years ago she ran saying that she was going to restore integrity to the Fulton County District Attorney's Office. And right now, integrity is the last thing on a lot of people's minds there. It seems as though we went through a little bit of soap opera with a lot of true ethical implications. What is the takeaway for you? What did we learn about Fannie Willis that's troubling? And where can state officials continue to go since the judge's ruling?
Well, we knew this was a witch hunt really from the jump and that it was a purely political move. What didn't become clear until the last month or two was this just sort of nakedly unethical behavior by D.A. Willis, apparently to induce her boyfriend to divorce his wife by giving him a no-bid contract for legal services that has run up a bill to Fulton County taxpayers of over $700,000. And then, of course, she got to enjoy some of the fruits of that contract as he took her, you know, all over the world, Aruba, the Bahamas, Napa Valley, on all these romantic getaways on the taxpayers' dime. So it's very troubling. It's very troubling that Judge McAfee did not remove her from this case. I can tell you I've practiced trial law for 15 years, sat in a lot of courtrooms, heard a lot of witnesses testify. I've never seen behavior like what D.A. Willis exhibited not result in the contempt citation and being incarcerated, which was disappointing, but perhaps a preview of how Judge McAfee ultimately ruled. So we're hoping he's going to grant a certificate of immediate review so judges that are not entirely reliant on Fulton County voters can review this. Obviously, there's a state Senate committee that's investigating her. Of course, there's a federal committee, the congressional committee, that's looking into her that has subpoenaed some records and threatened her with potential contempt proceedings if she does not comply. And then a 29-page bar complaint was filed by Steve Kramer here in Fulton County with the State Bar of Georgia. So we're certainly hoping that the State Bar will look into it as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues to be left there. And it seems like another thing is the legislature grappling with the idea of how better to police the conduct of prosecutors. I never thought we'd have a conversation where you got to police the prosecutor's conduct, but clearly this raised some very significant issues about prosecutors not following the most basic of common sense, good ethics. It was sort of like a bad soap opera called Prosecutors Going Wild when you're going through these hearings because you just don't think the people charged with enforcing the law would be doing things like this. Is there some legislative ideas that are bouncing around that you think also might give more oversight to prosecutors as we go forward?
Well, thankfully, the legislature has passed and Governor Kemp has signed a sort of technical fix to a bill passed last year to create a prosecuting attorney's qualifications commission that'll be empowered to investigate and sanction prosecutors. And you're right, John. I mean, I never thought I would live to see the day in our own country where we had prosecutors turning our criminal justice system upside down to go after their political enemies. It's just a really sad day in our country, and we've got to draw a red line here. It's one of the reasons the Georgia Republican Party has been so involved is I don't want to live in a country where we drive good people out of politics because they're afraid of a partisan, unethical prosecutor who's willing to pervert the criminal justice system to try to take away somebody's freedom because they lawfully contested an election. And so that's why it's so important that we not give up on this, that we continue to put the pressure on until this witch hunt is dismissed and we can move on to actually the business of our country and our state.
Yeah, that's so important. And I think a lot of people want to see this weaponization of law enforcement and get back to the settling election disputes in elections or political disputes in elections and keep law enforcement for criminal behavior or criminal offenses. And I think that's really the feeling a lot of people are going to the polls with this year. A lot of energy in Georgia in the primary that was just completed. President Trump really had a lot more votes than people who were voting for Joe Biden in the Democratic primary. Seems to be a lot of energy on the ground. The polls are showing that Republicans are going to do very well potentially in the November election. You run the state party. I think you've got your pulse on the your finger on the pulse better than anyone. What sort of state of mind are Georgians in right now?
Well, a couple of key takeaways from our primary. Number one is the rapid consolidation of primary voters around President Trump. I mean, 85% of primary voters, with over half of those votes being cast early or through our absentee process while Ambassador Haley was still campaigning. So, you know, number one, we're coming together. We're uniting behind President Trump. Number two, clearly all the energy with Republican voters far outpacing the turnout in the Democratic primary. And, you know, third of all, I think what you're seeing are what I'm seeing on the ground here in Georgia, which is Republican activists who are chomping at the bit to get to this general election. There's a real enthusiasm gap. between Democratic activists, Democratic voters, and our base.
Yeah, yeah, there is. And I think the fact that in many states there's going to be maybe three Democrats on the fall election docket, right? You could have RFK, you could have Jill Stein, you might have the Harvard professor, he may come in as well, Cornel West. There's a lot of places for Democrats to place a protest vote against Joe Biden where that won't be the case for Donald Trump. That could cause a lot more problems for Joe Biden, who already has really sinking ratings.
Yeah, you know, there were thousands of voters here in Georgia that took a Democratic primary ballot only to leave it blank. There was an organized effort to do that, to protest Biden's bungling of the Israel-Palestine issue. And you also have just a lot of voters that I think on the Democratic side that just aren't going to vote in that presidential race. We've seen that before when Democrats have put forward lackluster candidates. They don't necessarily flip the votes to the Republican, but they just don't show up. So.
Yeah, no, they sit on their hands and stay home. That's their form of protest. And that energy's on the flip side, the energy is just the opposite on Republicans right now. There seems to be a lot of significant excitement about what's coming together. A big question will be how Republicans fare in early voting. Obviously, Republicans prefer to vote on Election Day. There's obviously too many states in which early voting is allowed. And I know Georgia has begun to master early voting with some of the best rules. I think people look at Georgia and say, that's the model for most other people. We've got voter ID. We put voter ID in. Democrats said, oh, that's disenfranchising. And black voters, all voters went up in the last election. You have a model, and I think Republicans have a ground game to really get out the early vote in 2024. You excited about that?
I am. You know, John, you know, you got to play with the rules of the game that you've got. And here in Georgia, we've got 3 weeks of early in-person voting. When I ran for state party chairman, I said, look, we're going to beat them at every stage of the campaign. You know, waiting until Election Day to try to turn out all of our vote, it's like playing a football game and not playing in the first three quarters. We've got to get our offense on the field and score some points early. That's why I'm so excited that over 300,000 Georgia Republicans chose to vote early in this presidential preference primary. We were really pushing that message. We were asking people to get out there. That's a really good sign as we go into the general primary in the fall.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And that was a historic number, really interesting to see. And of course, in the last election with Governor's Kemp and the slate there, also good, strong turnout. Republicans really showed that they could move early vote and day of vote with great success. A lot of people look at what the Attorney General said the other day, Merrick Garland, saying, I think voter ID is an impediment to voting. It's discriminatory. Now, there was a ruling in Georgia by a federal judge, an Obama judge, saying there's no discrimination with voter ID. But the idea that the Attorney General keeps trying to assail one of the most basic and, by the way, most popular forms of preventing cheating in elections. What does it say about the mindset of Democrats that they're actually attacking something that 80-85% of Americans think is a good idea for elections?
I think it just speaks to the desperation that is growing among leaders of the Democratic Party around the country. They've got a terrible candidate. They've got a terrible record. And we've got an amazing candidate with a great record that people remember from just a couple of years ago. So they're in real trouble. And unless they are able to undo a lot of basic voter integrity measures and try to cheat in 2024, they're going to have a very difficult time winning this election. We are obviously going to work hard here in Georgia. It's a competitive environment, but we feel very good that we've got a great candidate, a great story to tell, and a great reason to fire Joe Biden. So if I was Merrick Garland, I'd be trying to think of ways to undo some of the common sense voter integrity measures we've got in place here in Georgia and other states around the country.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think it is a model. Everyone who's looked at Georgia said that is a model that works, and it encouraged more voting, but it made cheating so much harder to do. And I think states who are still wandering around looking for the right solutions, there's a tremendous model that is working in Georgia. For those states, last question I want to ask you, for those states that are still contemplating, or those state Republican parties that haven't gone all in yet on early voting and learning how to win all four quarters of a game, what's some advice that you could give them? You've mastered it there. You've got a ground game that starts well before Election Day and goes all the way through midnight and election night. What is the best advice you can give states that maybe are just getting up to speed, your Republican colleagues in those states, on early voting?
I think, you know, the big part is educating our voters. I know, because I've had a lot of these conversations, there are a lot of Republican voters that it's a habit to vote on Election Day. And, you know, we tell people over and over again, you know, things happen. Life happens on Election Day. Maybe it's bad weather. I've certainly reminded people over and over again about the Maricopa County disaster.
That's right. Printer jams.
Hurt Perry Lake, you know. So let's avoid all of that. Let's avoid the lines. Let's get our people to the polls. Let's run up the score ahead of Election Day and then finish strong. And I think if you start that process now of explaining to people why that's important, people will respond. We've been doing that for 9 months. I feel like we saw the fruits of that work on March 12th, and we're just going to continue to do that. And that's what I would encourage my fellow Republican Party officials around the country to do as we get closer to November.
Yeah, it's such an easy message, but it does take a little training and education because it's different for some people and there's distrust. But I think once people get comfortable and they see the protections, good things are happening. Josh, you guys have such an exciting party in Georgia. It is live and vibrant. There's debate. There's personality clashes, but there's also an extraordinary commitment to getting things right. And I think when people look around the country, they look at Georgia and say, that's a good state of mind for the rest of this country to have. What a great honor to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, John. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll be sure to stay in touch as the year rolls on. But a good update from Georgia. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, Ken Paxton, Attorney General, victorious in the Supreme Court today, will have his reaction to the immigration ruling right after these messages.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back, America. As we mentioned at the top of the show, a very significant ruling by the Supreme Court allowing Texas, at least for the time being, to enforce its rule against illegal immigration. While it's the beginning of a long battle, it's only the first of a long series of decisions that will wind their way through the court. We thought we'd bring you in the man who scored that win today. He's the Attorney General of Texas, our good friend Ken Paxton. General Paxton, welcome back. Congratulations on an important decision today.
Look, I appreciate it. It was a big win, and it's a big deal for Texas to be able to defend its own borders from illegal immigration and the consequences thereof.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. I want to ask you just quickly. There's a precedent that had been out there for a decade. Many conservatives frustrated by it. United States versus Arizona court said states can't enforce federal immigration law. You've taken this and flipped it on its head and said, yeah, but we can enforce state law about immigration. Is the Arizona case going to get redefined by the way this ruling comes out?
It doesn't necessarily get implicated in this case. The fact that we're enforcing state law that mirrors federal law. In the Arizona case, it didn't necessarily mirror federal law. As a matter of fact, one provision was upheld, and if I remember right, in the Arizona case, that mirrored federal law. Our case absolutely mirrors federal law. So it doesn't necessarily need to implicate U.S. v. Arizona. And it's truly up to the court to make that decision as to whether they want to overrule their own precedent from, you know, the Obama days.
Yeah.
Mr. Attorney General, I want to get into a little bit of the legal minutiae because this case lives on. This is not the end. In the interim, however, until your case hits another blockade by either the Biden administration or the courts, can you, as we say in Alabama, make hay while the sun is shining and deport?
Yes, that's true. So, yeah, the governor can begin enforcing state law today, right now, this very minute. But the reality is we know we've got a Fifth Circuit argument coming up April 3rd, and we actually have another hearing, we believe, that is going to come up tomorrow, that we're going to be back on the issue of whether the injunction stays or goes.
Wow. Is it in that moment, do you hold off? Do you think Texas holds off enforcing the law, or do you jump right in and start arresting people that don't belong in Texas?
Look, the governor can do, it's up to the governor. I don't make decisions about enforcement of that law. Right. I make decisions about defending the law, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And we'll fight this all the way to the end, hopefully getting good result from the Fifth Circuit, and in the end, back up probably to the Supreme Court, getting a good result. That's our hope.
Yeah. As this court is working through the process, we just spoke to Congressman Andy Biggs in Arizona, I think is probably out of the picture because of their Democrat governor. But there are states like Florida and Georgia that I think would be very interested in implementing something like this, depending on what the ultimate outcome is. But even considering what happened today, do you think that those states might consider what they could do for their own?
Yeah, look, I think they should consider it. I think they should do it, not just consider it, because the more states that are trying to defend their borders and trying to protect their citizens, I think the better. I think it sends a message to the court system, hey, we have an obligation as states to defend our people. When the federal government says, hey, we're not going to enforce federal law, not only that, we're actually going to do just the opposite. We're going to aid and abet the cartels. We're going to aid and abet anybody that wants to come here. We're even going to fund 30,000 people to come here by plane and go around the border. When that happens, I think states have an obligation. And certainly, if you look at history, there's no state, Florida, Texas, I don't think there's any state that would have joined the union had they been forced to not protect their citizens when the federal government isn't doing that job.
Yeah, that is such an extraordinary moment in history that we're living through. General Paxton, could you walk us through, if this law does begin to be get enforced, what the limits, what the rights are under the law? An illegal alien can be arrested by police. Is the next step then to deport them, or do they go through a conviction process and go to Texas state prison?
So no, they're held until they have a hearing in front of a state district judge, and then that district judge determines what happens, and he or she can send them to the country that they came in from. And that's certainly the direction of our laws, that these judges will end up sending people to the country. So if they came in from Mexico, they get sent back to Mexico. If they came in from some other country, they get sent back to that other country. But wherever they walked over from, these judges have the right under Texas law to send them back.
Sir, you have instigated so many important cases that I think the American people have been clamoring for. Especially the people of Texas, and Pfizer has been in your crosshairs for very good reason. And I think the last couple times we spoke to you, I think you were at the very beginning of the discovery process with respect to the efficacy of the vaccines and what they reported versus what was the truth. Can you give us an update?
Yeah, and I think we're continuing to find that what we believe to be true, which is that they lied about the efficacy, saying it was 95% effective, that they were relying on really a sort of stretched definition of efficacy, and that the truth is it actually was much lower than that. We think below 1%, which is a big difference, right? 95% to 1% is a big difference. And it really wasn't how they pitched it. And they did not pitch it, we believe, honestly. And therefore, they have a responsibility to Texas consumers who they misled to compensate them.
Yeah. Sir, as you dig in deeper, how much may we learn about the adverse events that we haven't been told about? We know there's two sets of books that the CDC or the FDA has been keeping in the VAERS database, one that we see, one we don't. Do you expect that you're going to find a lot of evidence of adverse events that we don't yet know about in the American public?
Yes, I do. I think we're going to find that there were adverse effects to these vaccines. And I think the reason that these vaccine companies or these pharmaceutical companies felt comfortable going forward, even knowing that there were adverse effects, side effects that were potentially very negative to people, they have no liability under federal law. And I think they were felt very protected. And so they went forward knowing, one, that it wasn't effective as preventing or spreading, and two, that it had side effects, all very comfortable for them because there's no downside legally.
Yeah.
Sir, I want to ask you about kind of an overarching theme of the Biden administration. They have acted outside of the law in numerous capacities, and that is objective because you can just look at court decisions to see how many times they've bumped up against federal law and been decided against. You've got border agents who have been turned into travel agents in a story that John and I discussed. You've got administrators in the Securities and Exchange Commission becoming climate regulators. There is an issue of executive fiat, of regulatory fiat in this administration. How do we reverse that if Biden wins a second term? I don't even want to say that.
Well, look, first of all, he can't let him win a second term because he has taken what Obama did and he's on steroids with it. And that this is the idea. It was started when he was vice president, this idea that we don't have to worry about the law. We don't have to worry about the Constitution. Let's just act like we can do what we want and force everybody else to stop us. And that's the mentality they've created in the left that now is doing it all over the country. And there are even, we can see this with judges in Trump's case. We can see this all over the country and in the cases that you talked about. They are not following any law. There is no rule of law. And the problem with that is that if we operate that way, we do not have a constitution. We are not a constitutional republic. We are no different than many of these other countries that we've talked about. Venezuela, China, it is a ruling oligarchy. And that's what the Biden administration wants. And they want one ruling party. And they're trying to set it up that way with their immigration policy so that we don't have accountability and that we don't have choices. We've got one party telling us what to do. And the American people need to stand up, whatever their background, and say, no, we can't allow this to happen to our country, or we will not be, because we will not be free.
All right, folks, one more good one to go. This is an important one. Brandon Judd, who was an advocate for that Texas law, he's going to give us his reaction on behalf of the Border Patrol Agents Union. Texas can now arrest and deport illegals, even if Joe Biden allows them across the border. We'll have the Border Patrol Union's thoughts on it right after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to continue to discuss that big news today from the Supreme Court's ruling that the state of Texas can enforce its immigration law, the state law, granting local officials authority to arrest migrants suspected of illegally entering the U.S. across the southern border and possibly deporting them. Now, the court rejected an emergency request from the Biden administration to halt enforcement of that law, claiming that immigration is strictly a federal issue and the state was overstepping its authority with the legislation. So joining us now to talk more about this, the president of the National Border Patrol Council, Brandon Judd, returning to the show. Thank you so much for being here, Brandon. Good to see you.
Good to be with you, Amanda. Thank you.
Brandon, it's not often that we have you on the show, and there's some good news to report. Here is just a flash of sanity in border policy, of course, not due to the Biden administration, due to the courts. But how much hope does this give you?
Oh, I'm extremely happy because of this decision. But we figured this decision was going to happen simply because this is not an immigration law. This is trespassing. The state passed a law saying that if you enter our country illegally, you are trespassing on the state of Texas. And by trespassing, they have the right to arrest you, take you into custody, and charge you for that. And so we expected that the Supreme Court was, in fact, going to overturn this stay. We certainly expect that as it works through the courts now, that the Supreme Court has tipped their hand, showing that they are going to be sympathetic to the state of Texas in enforcing a state law that is a trespassing law. So the federal government, Biden is going to say it's only the federal government's right to enforce immigration laws. And he's going to have a case in that. And SB 1070 out of Arizona showed that. But this is not an immigration law. This is a trespassing law in the state of Texas, and they can enforce that. And I think that it's going to be upheld.
Yeah. That's, I think, what a lot of people read into today's ruling, and it's going to be very interesting to watch how this plays out. Brenda, I want to talk about the level of threat that we see at the border. We hear from watching officials, the lights are blinking red. They use all these generic terms that are, you know, scary sounding, but you know the type of people that are being caught at the border, people on the terrorist watch list. Are there any recent captures in the last few weeks that really concern you based on the circumstances and the type of person that you were able to stop coming into the country?
Yeah, it's extremely concerning anytime that you take somebody in custody that's from the Middle East. That's always going to be concerning. And then you also have to expand out. You have to look at Eastern European nations. You have to look at some Western African nations. You have to be concerned with individuals from certain nations because we know that those nations want to do us harm. And anytime that you take them into custody, then you have to wonder, okay, well, what did we miss? Was there anybody in that group that tried to evade apprehension that were able to get away? And 9 times out of 10, that is the case because our resources are tied up. So we always have to look at, okay, it's one thing to take somebody into custody that we know that we're able to fingerprint and find out they're from a country. But what did we miss? What about the gotaways that we know of the close to a million gotaways? You know, how many of those came from countries that want to do us harm? How many of those people are going to come here for nefarious purpose or for criminal enterprise? And that's what's really scary about border security. And that's why we take it so seriously. And that's why Border Patrol agents are so frustrated with this administration. We want to be able to protect the American people. We want to ensure that terrorists don't get in. We want to ensure that drugs don't get in. But we can't do it because cartels recognize through our policies that they can flood our resources, pull us out of the field, and then create those gaps that allow them to cross their dangerous products. It's extremely maddening to every single one of us knowing that we can't do the job that we need to do simply because of policy.
Yeah. Brandon, I know you stay in constant communication with Border Patrol agents, but I know you also try to listen very closely to border communities, and oftentimes they are majority Hispanic communities, and they are the ones, you know, I want to take the terrorism aspect out of it because there is still a crime aspect that stops short of terrorism, and that crime affects Hispanic communities way more than it does other communities, right?
It does. I live in a border community. Obviously, I was a Border Patrol agent for 25 years. I'm still the president. I still work with the agents. I still ensure that the agency implements its operations properly, its programs, its policies. I'm the one who ensures that all of that takes place. I'm with our agents in the field all the time. And we see exactly how it impacts these border communities. So we go back to what Texas just did. The communities that are going to be the most happy about this, because illegal immigration in Texas is going to drop exponentially because of this law. And it's going to be those border communities that are most happy about this because they're not going to feel the stress. They're not going to see the crime. They're going to be the ones that are able to then go about and run their businesses how they want instead of having their businesses shut down because of constant illegal immigration that are running through their backyard. It's going to be those border security, those border communities that are going to be most happy about SB4 and the Supreme Court lifting that stay.
Yeah. Brandon, real quick, we got a minute left. Congress has one more chance to get a budget deal before the end of this week. Do you have any insight of what sort of border provisions they might be considering? Or have they cut off contact and stopped talking to the great Border Patrol Union?
Yeah, there's no policy. And that's the problem. Again, I don't care about money. We don't need money. We don't need infrastructure, technology, resources. We need policy. And there is no policy in this. It's strictly based upon dollars and cents. And when we do that, then the taxpayer is the one who suffers, because they're throwing money into a black hole that's not going to stop any of this problem.
Such a missed opportunity.
Yeah, we hear that constantly about this administration, that it's a border issue. Brandon Judd, thank you so much for being here. For once, we have something happy to talk about, and I hope that continues. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Amanda. Appreciate it. Thank you, John.
That wraps up today's show. We've had a really good show today and some big guests, really timed to the news. I love when we can get your real-time reaction to some of the most historic rulings in the country. And I think we did that today. Be sure to tune in over the next several days. We've got lots of big stories that are going to break. We're working on a whole bunch of investigative projects between now and next week. I think on January 6th, on Russia collusion, on Hunter Biden. Tomorrow, the business partners of Hunter Biden are going to appear for a hearing. We don't know if Hunter Biden has been invited, says he's not going to come. We'll see if that happens. But that's a pretty significant development there. And we'll keep you up to speed with live coverage from my good friend, Stephen Richards. And we'll talk in the morning about some of the unanswered questions that still need to be answered before the impeachment inquiry comes to its final resolution. I think that's important as well. All right, that wraps it up. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. In the meantime, you all know how much work the Alliance Defending Freedom has done to protect free speech, to protect religious liberty in America. They've got two historic cases winding their way through the Supreme Courts. If you want to join the fight for freedom, if you want to protect free speech, if you want to protect religious liberty, if you want to protect the ability to practice your conscience under the law, whatever your faith and beliefs are, whether it's related to abortion or which medicines are put into your body, Alliance Defending Freedom is on the front lines of those fights. If you want to support them, it's a very simple opportunity. There were trying to raise $5,000 from folks in the Just the News, John Solomon Reports community. If you go to adf.org/John, for my last name, Joe H.N., adf.org/John, you can make a donation. Any size will help them. They explain to you at the site why these cases they're fighting and all the cases that they've won in the Supreme Court over the last few decades, why these two are particularly important. And if you can spare a few pennies, a few dollars, every bit of it will go into their fight for religious freedom. As you know, liberty is under assault. Truth is under assault. That's another important thing I keep saying, but it is very true. Truth is under assault. So let's be sure to, if you want to go check that out, and if you want to get in the fight, adf.org/John. We're trying to raise $5,000, or they're trying to raise $5,000 from our community between now and the end of the month. Go ahead and support them any way you can. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports, a podcast from Just the News. Until then, have a great night. God bless. Be sure to check out Just the News tonight. We'll have you covered on the primaries. We'll have it covered all day tomorrow on the impeachment hearing with Hunter Biden's business partners, Tony Bobulinski coming in. Jason Galan is coming in from prison. Devin Archer, uncertain whether he'll show. My gut tells me he might show, but we'll see. And Hunter Biden may be a no-show. We'll see what happens there as well. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with another edition. Until then, God bless you and have a great night. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.